Good morning. Can everybody hear me now? I am so lucky to be here with you this morning. This morning's talk covers a little bit of ground, tracing the way from fear and insecurity all the way from patriarchy to the post-Me Too world of equality first dreamt of in the suffragette movements of the 19th and 20th centuries, and later embodied in the struggle to adopt the Equal Rights Amendment, which has been seeking ratification by the many states for my entire lifetime, plus 10 years. Only Virginia is left for us to hit the magic number 38, Illinois having gone earlier this May. You might have missed the news over the din of twits, but we're almost there. Almost there. So first, men, my dad taught me a lot, a bit of what is good and right, a whole lot of what is wrong and unpleasant for everyone. I still think of him when I am just about to get unassailably angry, or rather, I think of him as a child, being just as mercurial and irascible. I say to my child dad as I think to myself, oh, Gregory, I am a junior, after all. I say, oh, you don't need to scream at anyone to know that somebody loves you. Sometimes it helps. He was scared all those years, scared that love would be taken away from him. And I kind of inherited that fear and a lot of pain otherwise, but I'm not alone. All men are deeply afraid of one thing or another. And I hope this is no secret to anyone. Men are scared. All of us. We are scared out of our wits every single day of our adult lives, at least. Okay? But for men, to be scared is never allowed. We don't allow ourselves to feel hurt or feel weak or any number of non-orthodox man feelings. Nor do we permit ourselves to resist indulging in the permitted man feelings, to resist the urge to act out on the anger that we feel, or the lust, or that greatest sin of all, to be comfortable, to be unambitious, to not need that next rung, to resist the urge to dominate. But most of us men are also very insecure, so we do go out and play that domination game, a lot of us. And that, I am afraid, is where men all too often and for all too long have tried to staunch this heady well of fear and insecurity by turning others into things, ends, and not agents. It is deleterious to the spirit and indulgence in the comfort of one's own insecurity, separating ourselves into bondsmen and masters, one's ego against an object. We all know the archetype of the bad boss yelling at underlings for his own mistakes. It doesn't even look like it works. The bad boss is constantly harassed by insecurity that his people will someday soon rebel against his caprice. But the temptation is there. We see others indulge their scaredness, and we see the indignity and the obsequity, and we file that all away for later. And this learning from each other part, that's society. This is a societal thing. Our society allows, tolerates through each of us individually tolerating certain behaviors to be repeated, certain rules to be recreated and upheld. Did this come from our culture? Well, it seems to exist in a lot of different cultures, so it didn't have to, all right? But our Western society has certainly turned it into a peculiar institution, an institution that steals from women unrepentantly. Society has not rewarded women. Here at home in the U.S., women are making 83 cents on the male dollar. Some lucky areas of the economy, it's 93 cents, or only a 7% rate of theft. Economics in three sentences. A woman or any worker's value added is the sum output and outcomes of this individual having mixed her labor, her mind and body and breath with the raw materials and processes, the value she has added to all of society through her participation in labor. To accept and absorb her value added without extending due reward is exploitation. 83 cents on the dollar. And this is scientific fact. Most people would prefer the dollar. Why is an individual man going to value a woman as an equal, a whole person, when the economic system, our world religion, doesn't even bother? All women are exploited in this society, whether working or not, mothers being the most appreciably so. No one has, in my knowledge, ever sent a check to a new mother after a 16-hour labor. No, there's one day a year that she might have a $2 card come her way in the post to give her greetings, just the same as fathers and secretaries, but just as surely those cards are not stuffed with cash. Any of which $2 greeting card, by the way, moreover, for a woman actually cost her $2.34, considering the 17 cents on the dollar tax she has sustained just for her apparent gender. Her observable apparent gender. Male observation evokes another area where women go unrewarded very clearly. Exploitation proceeds, after all, most commonly by the eyes. The comely woman is spending 3,000 hours in her life getting ready before she even leaves the house. That's three times as much as those of us males who invest the time. Three times as much work. And what does she get for that? She's very appreciably useful to many a man as his to ogle. This is some sort of entertainment to him, he might say. Only similar, I say, to stopping in a field to watch some fauna, as if he's also fantasizing aloud about eating that deer or doe or whatever, loudly to the man standing next to him. And it is vital to note that this is not why any person, man, woman, or otherwise, gets dressed in the morning, to be leered at or objectified in the least and verbally or otherwise assaulted at the very worst. Nobody's treat to suffer the theft of your energy, your labor, not even for a sex worker. Even sex workers expect to be reimbursed for their work. Those with no expectation of pay are slaves. And sex slavery is also present here in America, most assuredly, even in my little Rhode Island town, just up the street. But how are any women any different from the enslaved if all are suffering to some degree a theft at the hands of men in plain view of our society? Men are not seeking to exchange anything for this opportunity to leer, to entertain ourselves. Another example of the tax. And who is benefiting from this tax? Who in this country is enriched by this 17%? Where has it gone, really? Who is going to benefit from this stolen value? Well, thanks to a hashtag, we can all benefit from this. We can benefit by pointing at the it and talking about the it and appreciating it aloud in public now, together, all of us. Let's stop replicating the complacencies that are the opportunity for these antisocial behaviors to breed. We should point at these things so that all can learn. Learn exactly what we can do without and what we can avoid. And it starts with us men by admitting we're scared and insecure and we're helpless and we have to come clean. We have to be honest with ourselves. Say, you know, I'm very scared right now. This fear is all I can think of, and anybody would be. I don't need to pretend to be rid of it or say, I am angry right now. It's all I can even smell, and anybody would be. I don't need to be afraid of my anger or need to be rid of it. Or I can say, gee, am I bored? And that boredom is mine. Why would I want to be rid of a feeling that is mine? Or say to myself honestly, gee, that is a very attractive person. That is one part of them. They are an entire person, and so am I. Anyone would be attracted to this person, but my attraction is mine. And it's mine alone, like my fears and my insecurities and my anger. Perhaps if we can all of us individuals practice this, we might find that we are restricting men's identity choices a little less. We might be able to be angry and not just have our anger dictate our behavior. We might be able to feel attraction without letting our attraction dictate our behavior. Perhaps if all of us can model this, we can start to show each other a better way. And I think if we can all start to do that, things might get better for everybody really quick, like quicker than you can imagine, like quicker than people who might have a stake in things staying the ways they've been for a long time might want us to believe is possible. Preach. I told you guys, I feel lucky to be here. I wasn't always like this. But this just, you look at history, it'll happen. But it's not just about the men who beg for, coerce, and steal sex, their tool to abuse women, specifically those who do so from a position of power. This is about all of us who identify as men. This is about anyone who has been given privilege from their society. It is about the choices that we all of us face every day. But I know that you and me can see those moments. And I know that you and me can all appreciate the better choice to make. And I know that we can start making those better choices together. Let us all be guided towards that choice for the Spirit. And as they used to say in church, Kyrie eleison.